Good morning, everyone. Nobody got washed away, all right. Okay, we've got announcements. First announcement, we found our directory, but now it needs to go through the congregation again because that's where it got lost last time. We're going to send it through the congregation. Everybody make sure that the stuff is right, and then we will print it off this week, hopefully. So, Ed, would you mind starting?
Thank you.
Well, here's a pen.
If there's any corrections that need to be made.
Okay. If there's any corrections that need to be made, please print really clear because last time I had some trouble. Okay, let's see. Dates to remember. Sundays at 9 o'clock, every Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, in Mickey's room is Bible study. Wednesdays at 6:30 in Mickey's room is prayer, and then from 7 to 8 is Bible study. Thursdays, 6:30 to 8, right here is choir practice. Everybody is welcome. The share fair is coming up this Saturday. If you don't know what that is, you bring stuff that you don't want anymore, and you can take whatever you want that other people bring. There is no fee, but we will have offering containers if you feel like you need to give something. September 30th is a Friday evening. We're going to do the church picnic under the pavilion from 5 until 8. There will be hot dogs and hamburgers provided, and a movie after the meal, and if you want to know what the movie is, you have to come to find out.
Are they bringing the porta potty back?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know it was.
Maybe
Leon Austin
was off last. No, they were surprised.
They were surprised.
Surprise.
So the church picnic, we all bring something to you.
Yes, everybody brings a.
Bring your own party, right?
Yeah. Would you want to coordinate?
Sure. Okay. All you have to bring is a side dish. We'll have.
Elaine's coordinating, so would like to let her know.
Oh, okay. Elaine, you're gonna have a list. Okay. Elaine, see Elaine if you're gonna bring. Well, see Elaine to let her know what you're going to bring, and she can let you know if we have 10 of those or not. Any other announcements? Yes.
So for share fair, as many as possible, bring soups, chili, and
herbs. Are we going to do another sign up for that, do you think?
Maybe Alma's making her beans, so you
need beans. I think that's much too organizational. We don't work that way. We just like people to participate and bring the stuff.
Everybody bring beans.
Okay. Beans, soup.
Yes.
People need to, for the share fair, people need to bring up stuff. Do they have anything ahead of time to bring it up, or we just bring it up?
No, we can't go and get anything early because it just encourages people to come in the dead of night.
It's just best for us.
And share a lot of abundance.
If you could put in, if you want to put them downstairs or something, that would be all right.
Please come the day of the event.
Drop off is at 9 o'clock.
We turn into a dumping station for unwanted, bad quality items. Howard and Joel and Buck and I and anybody who's got a pickup truck winds up going to the dump.
I thought that's what we did. I just wasn't sure.
Right. Yeah, what we want is good quality merchandise that day.
Yes.
Greg, you do it. 16 years ago, after this past Tuesday, I went down for the count. My wife, through the hands of the Lord, started CPR on me and brought me back to life. And
praise God. Any other announcements? Nope. All right then. Moving on to prayer requests. Prayers for Charlie and Alma to find a new apartment. Prayers for Bob and Judy and Alma and Charlie and all those who battle Parkinson's. Prayers for our cancer warriors. Ken LaRoche, who is pastor's son-in-law's father. Terry and Jeannie's sister Ruth. Let's see, she's not here, so I can't get an update on her. Charlie Roger Roberts, Roger Kerboy, the Reverend Bob Wellner, my friend Dee and her husband, who both have cancer. Continued healing prayers for the new babies, and Kate, my goodness, I can't read today, Kelly and Nate. Yes, and your baby brother.
He's born right now. He's born.
He's already born?
Yeah.
It's a good thing we're praying for him, huh? All right. Let's see. Cindy's new grandchild. And Alexis. How are you feeling, Alexis?
Good.
All right. Are you back at school now? Awesome.
Her name is Mia. My grandchild is Mia.
Mia. And let's see. Continue prayers for Jacob. Any more updates?
I just got one. And he did get to go home briefly. He's back at Connecticut Children's. I'm reading a litany of terrible clinical details here, but let me just read the inspirational piece of what Sarah wrote. She wrote, "This child is of the Most High God, joint heir to the throne. Lover of Jesus is so strong. We put on our armor of God and are especially using the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The devil is trying hard to break Jacob and our spirits any way he can, but we will not be moved. We stand firm on God's word."
There's a wow. That is faith. Continued prayer for baby Luke. Do you have more information on him?
Not as far as I know. He's still home and doing well.
Good. Continue praying for Angelica Ward, who is thriving.
Doing well. She's practicing some of her baby skills.
And all of our other children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that need healing. Prayers for the doctors and nurses. Prayers for the doctors and nurses that treat them, for wisdom and guidance. And for Mr. Jetty, Joel and
Dad went to the hospital for dehydration, and he was admitted, and I just hope that and pray that this he'll fully recover, and this won't be a game changer for him. Appreciate your prayers.
Let's see, and prayers for Missy Hagen, for Kit, for Rich, Tom's sister, for Kelly Morin, for Rich, for me, Priscilla Barney, and anyone else. Yes?
My mom's sister, Barbara, who's from Munson, she's in the hospital and she needs prayers.
What's
she's been
name?
Following getting to see him called Barbara. She'll be 95 next month.
Oh, wow, okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Kelly's friend, Christina, was just diagnosed with cancer.
Anyone else? Yes.
I just want to give a praise. We prayed for wisdom for me as a shop steward at work. And it was a very complex situation, and they tried to suspend me without pay for one day for doing my job. The long story short was, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
They did not prosper. They got hammered by the Lord because of the wisdom I had to present it and be polite and nice. It was just amazing. I watched God work, so thank you for that.
Anyone else? Okay, Pastor.
Morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good to be back down here in the Flatlands. I went to the Berkshires and I sent Joel a text on Saturday and or Friday. Anyhow, whichever day I arrived up there, I said to him, it was so cold, we had to put blankets on last night. The difference in temperature, we left here, it was 95 degrees when we left here. It was 98 when we came through Springfield, we hit Greenfield, and along the Route 2, it was 68 degrees.
Wow.
Yep, that was the difference in temperature. Good to see y'all here. In the words of my friend and mentor, George Vreeland, as they pulled in the parking lot, what are so many people doing out of their houses today? This is September 11th. September 11th was always a date that I had a tough time remembering. It's my daughter's birthday. It's my daughter's birthday today. So, and Hank, it's a definitely memorable day for you. You know, with Betty working on you, Hank was gone. He was on his way home to the Lord, and Betty persuaded God that he needed to leave Hank here because she needed adult supervision. On September 11th, you all that are older have your own memories. Folks like Keller. Keller's not old enough to remember September 11th. My grandchildren and all the kids that are here have no clue about September 11th. On September 11th, I was on the Whitestone Bridge, headed into Fort Hamilton, New York. And so I know September 11th real well. I worked in New York City and Fort Hamilton after 9/11 and worked there for all the time working with soldiers. And September 11th, you have a lot of different memories. But as I thought about it for the sermon today, when the world is dark, and the world is dark and there's no light in sight, the only thing you could hang on to is Jesus. Because out of that darkness walked a young man named Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani walked out in the streets, and if you were in New York, you probably saw it on TV. But if you were in New York and that cloud came out, there was this cloud that enveloped the whole city. The cloud enveloped the whole city. And through that cloud, a young man named Rudy Giuliani walked with the people and said, "Follow me. New York will rise again." In New York, when I worked there originally, people associate New York with rude people, people cutting you off in traffic, not a safe place. After 9/11, and I still go to New York and float in and out of New York, people say hello, people are polite. People were risen up and united. I watched Billy Graham's message at the National Cathedral yesterday as I was sitting getting ready to prepare for this. And Dr. Graham, it's amazing how we change. You need to really maximize and enjoy today. Because it wasn't that many years ago, and Billy has Parkinson's now and can't stand up and speak that way. But he is in the National Cathedral and he's talking about 9/11. And he's talking about God. And where is God in the middle of the storm? And where is God? And God is always there. And I was, it's interesting when you're outside and this storm was coming. If you looked it out last night, the stars didn't, you couldn't see the stars, but the stars are always there. Stars are up there right now, shining. Stars don't go away.
No darkness.
There's no darkness. And God's the same way. God's there all the time. So as we begin this service, George, if you'd come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we come together today and we pray for a renewal. We pray for a renewal. We ask, Father, that you would lift us up and make us more than we ever thought we could be. For in the days after 9/11, we came together as a nation. We came together as a nation united under God. In the days after 9/11, Father, the churches were filled. People crossed borders and gave away their prejudices and came united together as one nation under God, indivisible. We pray for that spirit again, Father. We pray for a spirit of togetherness, a spirit where we will be led to work together and to realize that you, Father, are always there, that you, like the stars, never go out and never go away, but you're always there. We pray, Father, for courage, for pride, for honor. We pray, Father, that every day we share the light and love of Jesus Christ with those that do not know, because they'll need that light. They'll need that light during the dark times. And Father, as we prepare for worship today, we gather together with the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Steve Sable, you'll see me use some of Steve's quotes on my emails that I send out. Steve sent out one and he says, "We like guarantees and we like warranties. When you buy a car, you like to get guarantees and warranties with them. You like the negotiated extended warranty. That's probably wise for products." But Steve says, in life, you can't live that way. In life, there are no guarantees. The only thing certain about life is the uncertainty. For old folks like me, you know those things. I asked George always to lead us in a Pledge of Allegiance because George experienced World War II. Mm-hmm. I'm just a kid, and I remember playing basketball and John Kennedy being assassinated. Mm-hmm. I remember Martin Luther King being assassinated. I remember a lot of different things over my life that have been earth-shaking events. Mm-hmm. There is no guarantee, there is no warranty, but life is an adventure. Life should be looked like as a great adventure. Some folks get down in the dumps and they say, "Oh, I've got a common job." There is no common job. They say, "Oh, I don't know what I amount to like in the big specter of life." Everybody amounts to something. And just think how boring life would be if there weren't any interruptions. If every day everything that you planned went nice and smooth and you never had that bump in the road. If you got up and didn't have any concern for the whole day, no crises. John Eldridge wrote a book called Wild at Heart. In it he writes that every person has an adventure to live. Forget playing it safe. Learn, live, reach, risk. And when a man or a woman loses their sense of adventure, he becomes bored and a dangerous entity. Because when you're bored, you become a product of stinking thinking. And you share that bad attitude with everybody that you come in contact with. But we are Christians. We know the answer to the quiz. We know that regardless of the circumstance, as Charlie says, nothing can overcome us. We serve a great God who wants to share from his abundance with us, that we have the eternal hope, the eternal mission, that there is a plan in place for us that is greater than anything we could dream of. And that together there is nothing that we cannot do, because God says he will provide us the assets to accomplish the things that we dream of, to go the places that we can go. So don't wait. Don't put off tomorrow because
you're afraid for today. Move forward and do the great things. I also thought about 9/11 in the context of Jesus being crucified. At 9/11, everything that I had ever trained for, every bad situation that career soldiers have, came to fruition on that day. I'm sure that when George was in the middle of the ocean and folks were flying overhead and bombing him and that type of thing, every bad thing that George had thought about that could happen came to fruition that day. And when Jesus was crucified, all the disciples, all the followers, experienced a big terrorist attack. Not just on Jesus, but in those days, if you can imagine coming out here on Main Street and walking down Main Street in Wales and having crosses with people dead and dying on the crosses along the way, I don't know how much more terrorist activity you can get than that. But as Christians, Jesus overcame all that and rose so that we can live eternally. We know the answer to the quiz. So as we go through service today, know that we serve a nation with a flag that still says one nation under God. We serve the greatest nation on the face of the earth that stands with a Statue of Liberty and has the same message we got out front. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. Y'all come. Because here dreams can be fulfilled. Because here all things are possible. Because we are a nation founded under God. We'll continue service with 536. Open our eyes, Lord. 536.
Testimony from the CEO of Cantor Fitzgerald, and I was at a financial institution, Boston Financial, and his offices were on the 101st to the 105th floor, and the plane took a direct impact on that tower right there. His brother was also a CEO, and the only thing that spared him, he was his first day of his son's kindergarten class. But his sister called her brother, the other brother, and she says, "Oh, I'm so glad that you're not there." I said, "I am, and I'm about to die. And tell everybody that I love them." And it was just this morning I heard this testimony. And 648 people from Cantor Fitzgerald lost their lives that day. And he came in the next morning, there was only four people left. And he said, "We can spend the next month or so going to funerals at about 20 a day for over a month, or we can rebuild this company and have enough money, we can generate money to pay these families what they need." And I thought about that. And here's a guy losing his brother, losing 647 of his employees, and terribly grief-stricken, but he has to do his duty. And then I thought about it. Everybody we see around us could be the walking dead. They could not know Jesus. And they're on a worse track to a fiery inferno that makes the towers look like nothing. And it really hit me today that, oh my God, the people are perishing around us but they're smiling and they're like the Walking Dead, and we might not know it, and we don't want to embarrass anybody. I think anybody that knew the towers were going down would be running up to every floor, and there were people. Said, get out, get out, get out. Destruction is on you. And that's the seriousness of what our responsibility is. And we kind of like don't really get it all the time. But today I think it really wakes us up.
Speaking of, that morning I was much too comfortably in my living room watching Peter Jennings and the coverage, and wouldn't learn until 2 weeks later that Joseph Parencino, an employee of Cantor Fitzgerald, died that day. Joseph and I were for several years best friends. We got in trouble together. We shoveled driveways for money together, all that thing. It didn't strike me that day, but piece of my childhood died.
Wow.
In the office of Cantor Fitzgerald.
I was home that morning and I received a phone call from a girl at church. Her brother he worked at the Twin Towers, and she asked for prayer. That's what, and then I turned the TV on and saw what was going on.
He
made it. Oh, yeah. Praise God, he made it.
I owned a travel agency. I don't know how many of you know that, but I had somebody on the plane out of Boston that morning.
Oh.
A week before, they opened up a connecting flight out of the Vineyard into Providence, so I changed that to the flight out of Providence.
Oh, wow.
So that night, she called me when they arrived in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And she said to me, I don't know what happened. And I said, I do. I said, God wanted you on that flight from Providence, and you have what to do.
Providence.
And I just think about that because of so many people on those flights. Anyway, that was my story.
Anybody else?
Yep. I want to share what I did the day after. We had a children's program going on at our church, and the kids that we were ministering to were kids, like inner city kids. And they were a tough group of kids, and they'd been giving us a lot of grief. And so we held a meeting, and I was able to share with them that, you know, when the planes hit the Twin Tower, nobody knew they were going to die that day. And the building came down, and they were still searching. And I said, you know, when it's time for your death, that's it. These people that are buried under rubble, right now there still is hope that they can survive and come back. But you will never have a second chance. And we had kids give their hearts to the Lord that day because of that. And so that's what I remember. Praise God.
Praise God.
So, Kenneth, you turn to 418. It's America the Beautiful. America the Beautiful. We'll do first and last verses.
Oh, beautiful, for space is not for.
when you're getting ready to go on a trip. I just came back from Alaska a little while ago. Even on a trip to the Berkshires and back, we took our camper up and dropped it off there. Some of you folks travel. When you go on a trip, you do a little planning. And there's a sense of adventure. You never know what's going to happen along the way. You pack and you prepare and you plan. And you go on a trip. And when you're on that trip, your job is to be safe and to enjoy the fellowship. Fortunately, Elaine and I are married and we like fellowship over food. So we fellowship with my brother and sister-in-law and my son and daughter and my new grandson up there. And we went to eat at different places, and because Elaine's still in the learning curve of becoming a Burdick, we have to take her to places that are familiar to the Burdick clan. So we went and did Chinese food at a place called Cheese and Adams, if you're ever up that way, a good place to eat. We went there because my mom used to like going there. And we stopped and, we visit the folks on the hill that are in the cemeteries. And my brother Roy is a walking, talking Burdick history book, so she accumulates a lot of information along the way. But along the way, we share. And if you look at life as an adventure, if you look at life as a big adventure, whether you're teaching preschool or whether you're working with Cub Scouts or whether you're just going to the supermarket or whether you're at fellowship with somebody that you're related to, or if you're going to go to breakfast with me after church today, that's a big adventure. And it's an opportunity for you to share and witness and make a contribution. When the offering comes through, I always talk about sharing from your abundance. Mm-hmm. Your abundance isn't limited to the offering that you take in church. Your abundance is when you go and the waitress waits on you and you make the waitress's day by being pleasant and conversational and having a two-way dialogue with that waiter or waitress so that you feel like you're sharing part of their life. That same thing goes on when you're in the restaurant. If you've gone out with me, I talk to everybody. I visit with everybody in the place. There are no strangers in my world. They're just new friends I haven't made yet. And so I try and work that on the way through everywhere that I go. And I hope that I share the light and love of Jesus Christ with everybody that I run into, because somebody hasn't had that sunshine today. Somebody hasn't seen the sunshine. The gift of this storm. Some folks think it's just a miserable, stinking storm with a lot of wind. I see the gift of the rain. Howard's shaking his head. Howard, we need the rain,
we
brother.
We need the rain.
Definitely.
We need the rain.
Showers and blessings.
Yep. That is it. And you have to look at it as enlivening, as lifting you up and bringing you to a new world. Because I don't care how good your week's been, you're still a little wilted. You're still a little wilted. If you're in school, maybe you got too much homework. If you're working, maybe you've got too much work going on in your head. I know I have nights that I cannot sleep. Lately, a lot of them, where my little head just does not shut off.
Yeah.
Howard's nodding his head, and Mike's nodding his head. Y'all got that. Well, I just can't shut my little mind off thing going on. That's not all bad. But I got to tell you, we were with my newest grandson last night, and Lincoln has a interesting lifestyle, but he's funny. He's busy all day, and Elaine and I were playing with him, and he's crawling, and he's learning, and he's got stuff going on. So we said, this was our first encounter of being taking care of him, and what do you do to get him to bed? Some kids you walk and talk, some kids you sing to, some kids want to be rocked. They all got different systems for success, and if you're watching the baby, you want that success right away. Yeah. Well, the thing that we didn't bring with us that we're bringing next time is we didn't bring a car seat, because we're old people and we know that if nothing else works, you put that little baby in a car seat and drive till he passes out. But he has a unique thing that all Burdicks and all y'all folks need to learn. He has the ability to relax. Yeah, we were singing the hot dog song and Disney characters, and it was time to go to sleep. And they said, he likes to go to sleep with somebody. So I sat out on the porch, and I held him and Elaine and I said sang Amazing Grace to them. And we sung Amazing Grace with verses that weren't standard along with that, and we sung it for about probably 10, 15 minutes worth of Amazing Grace. The neighbors didn't complain or anything. And he just buckled under. And he buckled under and closed his eyes, and I think I could have set a bomb off. If we could only have that peace, if we as adults could only have that peace where we go to bed and snuggle up close and realize that we're in the arms of God and that everything's going to be okay, and we could shut our mind off. Lincoln got perfect rest. There was no getting up. Of course, he didn't have to get up and go to the bathroom like some of us. But he went to sleep. What a gift he showed his grandfather and new grandma was the gift of peace. As the ushers come forward, share from your abundance, because we are abundantly blessed. No way to repay. But we work every day, Father. We are a work in progress. We offer these gifts and pray for wisdom in their use. We pray for the opportunity to expand and reach others that don't hear your voice, that don't see your face. We don't want anybody left behind. Mm-hmm. We don't want anybody left behind. We ask, Father, that you lift these gifts up, that you give us wisdom, that you help the message to go out, and that folks to come in that we add daily to the numbers and the detachment, not just here in Wales, but across the globe, Father, that you continue to recruit and add new souls so that the numbers of heaven continue to increase, so that the number of warriors serving you continue to increase, so that your work can be multiplied, maximized, and utilized by every living creature. We lift these up to you, Father, and ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All the children, come down front.
Doodah.
Doodah.
I'll bet nobody can tell me what other day today is. It's a new holiday, or a new work. Any papers? It's Grandparents' Day!
Oh, yay! Hi,
Grandparents' Day! We have got Grandparents' Day cards. Would one of you do mind reading that out?
Thank you.
Okay, Keller's going to read Grandparents' Day card. The term of it.
Jesus, you make grandparents step in so many things. Some are kind of serious, but others have to pay. Some just free, threaten, or worry, while others want to care. Some don't have to pay.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some grandparents' cards. And I'd like you to pass them out. If you have grandchildren, would you please raise your hand? And the kids will pass out these cards to you. So go ahead, pass them out. And I'm going to read the inside. I found this in a book and I really liked it. Remember your wide-eyed grandchildren are always watching what you're doing and when you're talking. So watch your actions and your reactions. Be careful your expressions don't become your transgressions and your attitude doesn't fuel a feud. Interact with them and others like sisters and brothers with love and forgiveness, joy and kindness. Continue encouraging your grandchildren just like you're doing. Help their faith grow strong. Remind them to whom they belong. Prove to them that absolutely no trouble or how much we struggle will ever separate them from the love and protection of Jesus above. No matter how they're dressed or how much they have or how much food they have, whether or not they're good or bad, no amount of danger will ever keep Christ away. Not yesterday, not now, not any day. These are translated loosely from Hebrews 12:1, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and Romans 8:35. So while this is really children's time, it's kind of grandparents' time too. I want to remind all the grandparents. He's not? He is, okay. That little children, whether they're yours or others, are watching you at all times. And whether or not you have got grandchildren, any child is watching you. And they're learning how to become adults. They're learning about their faith by the attitudes and by the remarks that we make, even by the way we hold ourselves. They can tell, like anybody else, whether you're just faking it or you're real. So I would ask every one of you to be very careful how you live your lives. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for adults that are modeling good Christian faith to these children. Father, I ask that you would help each of us here to remember that we are a model to each one of them and to so many others. Lord, I ask that you would help us to remember this at all times, Lord. Guard our mouths, our actions, our attitudes, our hearts. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Betty, I'd like to do a scripture reading now. I'm going to skip over the next hymn. We're going to move the next hymn to the end. And this, you should pay attention because Betty, when Betty reads scripture, it's always an adventure.
Sometimes I have scripture that I like, God has something else in mind, and Betty reads that scripture, and my job is to figure out how to use it.
I'm going to do it right. The first reading is from Psalms 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? Psalms 24, 8. Our help is the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then Isaiah 50, 10. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light, yet trusts in the name of the Lord and relies upon his God? Here ends the reading of this psalm.
Thank you, Betty. God, with me in prayer. Father, we come together and we ask that you would come and lay hands on each one of us, Father. That you would open our hearts and minds to your message, to your word, for the message will be different for each person. We ask that you lift us up, that you surround us with angels, that we would open our hearts and minds to the opportunities that you have available for each and every one of us. For with you, Father, no mission is truly impossible, no mountain too high, no valley too wide, no obstacle too tough to overcome, because with you, we are invincible. We ask, Father, for no distractions, for your voice to be clear, for your voice and your message to be focused. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In the bulletin, I've got a quote from Ben. Ben's back in the Middle East. He sent me a message. And this is where the scripture came from today. It's from Isaiah 50, verse 10. And Ben's message was, I don't know quite what to expect. I'm going back to a place that I've been before. But the place that I'm going changes every week, sometimes every moment. There's a change going on all the time. And Ben says, I don't know what to expect. So he uses the scripture from Isaiah and he says, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And he writes, and with these words I go. I have no confidence in my own ability, gifts, or resources to accomplish this task. I am stepping into a place of darkness. Instead, I go knowing God will accomplish his purposes through and in us. He is our confidence, and only he brings us through to the other side. And for those of you that remember Ben, Ben's profession is a horse trainer. And so he closes with, he has always helped me to get back on the horse. Amen. Regardless of whether you're a horse trainer or not, sometimes in life you take a spill. Sometimes you're focused on doing something and you fall down or things don't come together. And so I'd like you to think for a moment. I'd like you to think a moment about your life. And the question is, when have you grown the most spiritually in your life? Has it been during the sunlight or the darkness? I use the Psalms of David. David lamented a lot of times. David was chosen of God. God loved David. And David looks up and he asks the question, where does my help come from? I've had times in my life of despair where it's all you can do is look up and say, God, I can't do this. I'm not sure I can go one more step, Lord. I don't know if I can do this. I remember being stuck on the bridge and watching the plane stuck in the Twin Towers and the smoke coming up. I remember afterwards the ash blowing all over the city. And the city was so dark it looked like night. I remember being a little kid playing basketball downstairs at the little school on the mountain, and they brought us upstairs and dragged this big old black and white TV in. We turned it on, and the man on the TV said, "The president has been shot." And he sat there, and I remember being a little kid, and we all looked at each other. And the teacher was there, and the teacher said, "We need to pray." He didn't ask what faith these boys were. He didn't ask if it was politically correct. He said, "We all need to pray." Every once in a while, Mr. Trouble knocks on our heart's door. And when he knocks, and you go through the fire, you go through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You go through the fire. But the fire cannot touch you. You feel the heat, you feel the pain, you feel the anguish, but you're never, ever alone. And you come out on the other side. And the nice thing in my life is God has never failed to provide a leader that would walk to the front and say, "Let's pick it up the pieces. Let's move forward. We can be better than we were before." If you're feeling that call, Lisa now heads the Cub Scout troop here. I'm sure that she didn't fill out a form one day and said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And she checked off the block and said, "I want to be a Cub Scout."
Not so much.
I'm sure that at that point in time, God said, "Who will come and lead the troop?" And before Lisa realized it, she was standing up and looked around and said, okay. At difficult times, God will boost you up. God will lift you up. And you'll wonder, who said that? I know a lot of times, you know, I'll hang out with folks and we'll be listening and I'll say out loud, "Was that in my head or did it come out of my mouth?" I'm not too sure which way that went. Jay's done that. Jay's thinking, sometimes that's not a good thing. But God developed you. I like motivational words. Warren Wisby said, "We live by promises, not by explanations." We live by promises. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We're going to have a share fair. By faith, I know that a lot of people are going to come. By faith, I know a lot of people are going to be witness to. I love the share fair. People come and walk in and go, "How much is that? How much? Have some soup. How much is the soup? How much is that?" They just cannot grasp that concept. And it's so much like being a Christian and accepting the Lord Jesus.
Right.
What's the catch? It can't be that easy. It can't be that God loves me just the way I am. I don't even like me just the way I am. You know, I wished I was taller. I wished I was skinnier. I wished I could play 14 different instruments. God says, Tom's flicking his hair back there. God thinks Tom's waiting for the part where I say I wished I had hair. That ain't happening, Jay.
Hair.
But God likes us just the way we are. God likes Joel, even though Joel don't use bandages. And if you catch Joel, Joel's always got duct tape on something. That's Joel's boo-boo medicine. Yeah, wrap it up in duct tape and go. You know? But when it's dark out and you don't have an explanation, you need God. It's more important to be with God in the darkness than it is to be in the sunlight without Him. Being in the sunlight, you can see, but being in the darkness, you can't see. The darkness is a scary place. You need God all the time while you're there. You need Him. David talks about, "Yehovah, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." If you've ever gone to work and didn't know if you were coming home that day, if you ever got up in the morning and didn't know if you were coming home that day, you know, walking through this valley of the shadow. You know you're going, but you don't know if you're coming. You don't know how important everything is that's really important until you don't know if you're coming home. And today on line 11, I'm here to tell you, you don't know if you're coming home, but you can know that you're going home.
Amen.
You can know that you're going to go. You know where you're going to land. And if you live life at an adventure, you go into battle with the expectation, with the excitement, with the adrenaline. There's nothing more exciting than getting ready to go to work and being excited. To go in. My granddaughter Sydney is playing JV field hockey. They had their first game. They got torched. She's ready to play again this week because there's a sense of excitement, a sense of opportunity. She's not going into that game thinking, boy, this is going to be a long day. Could be, but she's going there to play. She's going to be a player and a participator. You know, it's one of those things. You watch and you admire people along the way. And they just took Mother Teresa and made her a saint. I always thought Mother Teresa was a saint anyway, for the work that she did. But prior to Mother Teresa's death, she said, "You'll never know that Jesus is all you need until all you have is Jesus." You'll never know that Jesus is all you'll need until all you have, all that you got left. Nothing else is worth it. All you've got left is Jesus. So today, as we move through the day and we see the 9/11 services and we fellowship with our friends, have the joy that Hank talked about. Have the joy that Hank talked about. Hank and Betty have always been an interesting couple because of the fact that they're not just nice people and love each other. But Hank was gone. Hank was gone. When you talk to Betty and you're in a private conversation with her, she talks to you about working on Hank and talking to God while she's working on Hank. And she's working on Hank, and her plea isn't what you want from a quiet, conservative Christian lady. What you've got is somebody who's scared and mad as can be that God would have the audacity to take her man. So she talks to God and pleads with God, and then she talks to Hank and says, "You better not die, I'll kill you." But that's the kind of participator you need to be every day. You need to be all in the game every day. You need to be all aware of every day. You need to be ready to play every day. There's no vacation days when you're a Christian. God wants you to serve all the time, in the sunlight and in the darkness. So as we move through the day, bring the sunlight with you. Bring the sunlight, bring the grace and the love and the kindness of Jesus Christ to everybody that you go, even if you don't like them. Bring it anyway. Bring it to your relatives. That's hard. That's the hard mission, is to bring it to your relatives because you think they know better. And you've told them everything that you know and they still don't know nothing. Bring it to them again anyway. My gift in life is I'm an inviter. You'll see me invite and invite and invite and invite till you give up, huh, Maverick? You might as well come the first time I invite you because I'll keep picking at you till you show up, huh? It's one of them things. So as we close, I want to go read you the words of Ben. And with these words I go. I have no confidence in my own ability, gifts, or resources to accomplish this task. I'm stepping into a place of darkness. Instead, I go knowing that God will accomplish his purpose in us and through us. He is our confidence, and only he brings us to the other side. And he always helps me to get back on the horse. And all God's people said,
amen.
We're going to close with 538. I need thee every hour. 538.
Help the light and the glory of Jesus Christ to fill us. Help us to be filled to the point where we can't contain it, where our vessels are overflowing and we just need to share. We ask all these things in your Son Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.